has been observed by students of the Bible that the three normal, sinful, finite men who had the most distress in their lives were Job, David, and Paul. These men suffered in life at a very unusual level. They experienced more negatives than most. What's interesting about all three of these men is that they were men who spent a great deal of time talking to God. They were men of prayer. Time and time again, we find them talking to God in the midst of their troubles. All three prayed things for themselves. They prayed about others. They prayed about those who were their enemies. Well, Psalm 141 is a Psalm of David. It's an interesting Psalm of David. The thing that is so interesting about this is that while David was experiencing all of these negative things, he was very focused on his own spirituality. He prayed about enemies, but he never wanted to become like them. Psalm 141 is a prayer of David. It's a psalm. David is talking to God. It's a prayer that asks God to permit him to blossom in his own spirituality, and it's a prayer that prays that one be protected and delivered from all enemies. When surrounded by enemies and threatening situations, a key to victory is praying about one's own spiritual condition and praying about the condition of our enemies. People not right with God don't have a real true spirituality, and when they find themselves in trouble, the last person with whom they will talk to is God. They'll run around trying to figure out a way to get out of the problems, but they will not spend much time with God. As a result, these people do not have a deep spirituality, nor do they see God do much of anything. David asks God to quickly answer his prayer. Verses 1 and 2. O Lord, I call upon you. Hasten to me. Give ear to my voice when I call to you. Let my prayer be counted as incense before you, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Sometimes we take prayer for granted, but David never did. In verse 1, he calls on the Lord, and he asks God to give ear to his voice when I call to you. Let's face it, our speech carries a lot more punch when we say, please listen to me, or please hear me out. There's a sense of urgency to do it. Now, David asked God to hasten to him. What this means is he's asking God to quickly answer his prayer. And in verse 2, he follows that up by asking God to consider his prayer to be sweet incense and not a bunch of whining and babbling. In fact, David wanted God to view his prayer as an evening offering. He wanted God to view his prayer as sacred and special. Have you ever thought about prayer like that? Have we ever been convinced about how God views us in our prayer? Well, David was. He asked God to honestly develop his life. Look at verses 3 through 5. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not let my heart incline to any evil, to busy myself with wicked deeds, to in company with men who work iniquity, and let me not eat of their delicacies. Let a righteous man strike me. It is a kindness. Let him rebuke me. It's the oil for my head. Let my head not refuse it. Yet my prayer is continually against their evil deeds. David totally and completely honest in his relationship with God. He wanted God to develop his life, and he makes these requests. He asks God to help him with his speech. Many causes of lip sins, impulsive temperament that shoots off mouth without thinking, pride and ego that desires to elevate self, lack of self-control that does not care what is said or who it hurts, evil temper that lashes out and says hurtful things, and lack of a right relationship with God, which means people don't care what they say. And to have victory over speech was something David wanted, and it was also something he knew needed God's help. To get God to help him with his speech, he asked God to set a guard over his mouth. It's a tough thing to keep a bridle on the tongue, and to do that, one needs God's help. David did not ever want to say things rashly or inadvisedly or improperly. And when his life is over, undoubtedly, the great number of sins that people will have committed will have been sins with their mouths. In fact, most sins of one's speech will outnumber the hairs on one's head. James said, let every person be swift to hear, but slow to speak. In order to do that, we need God's help. Have you ever prayed and asked God what David did in verse 3? It's critical. David asked God to help him with his heart. David knew he had a heart problem like we all do. We have a heart and nature that's inclined to do evil. And the key keep a heart from going that direction demands God's help. There's a wickedness to our hearts that we, in and of ourselves, cannot conquer. The assumption that David makes when he prays, verse 4, is that God can control the inclination of our heart. God can transform our heart so that its inclination is so that it's not evil, but righteous. And that's what David wanted. He wanted to ask God to do that. And so this is what he asked God. We live in an evil world. It's filled with evil people who offer all kinds of evil stuff. To walk through this evil minefield and have a heart that does not succumb, we need the work of God. And so David asked God to allow the righteous to rebuke him. It's a critical part of being a wise person. David actually asked God to use people to convict him and reprove him. The kind of person that wants God to use that, we're righteous and kind people. And that word smite, halam, means to be broken down as by a hammer that was pounding something into shape. David was willing to be reproved and rebuked. He was willing, in fact, he wanted to be broken over his sin, but he asked God to let righteous people do it. Dr. Harry Vultima said we live in such a decadent society that when a righteous person rebukes another, most view it as an insult rather than an anointed step of blessed development sent by God. Fools despise reproof, but if we are to blossom in our spiritual lives, we need it. Rebuke a wise man, he'll love you. But rebuke a foolish man, he'll hate you. When we go to church and hear the word and walks all over us, we should be grateful because that's God speaking to our hearts. Make adjustments, we become spiritual. David wanted to be rebuked because he wanted God to send a rebuke from one righteous and kind. It's important when we're rebuking someone, we're trying not to do it in a harsh way, but a kind way. And David asked God to bring righteous, kind people into his life who would rebuke him if he were wrong, getting off track. It's honest integrity. David was not afraid to admit he was wrong. When he was wrong, it's a mark of spirituality. And then he informs God that he will continue to pray against the wicked. When their judges are thrown over the cliff, it's verse 6, then they shall hear my words, for they are pleasant. As when one plows and breaks up the earth, so shall our bones be scattered at the mouth of Sheol. Keep in mind that David prayed in verse 2, prayed this prayer would be viewed as sweet incense. What he says is, I'm not perfect, I need your help. But at times I do need to pray about wicked people. When I do, I need you to listen. Wicked people have their own judges. Wicked people get into these high positions of power. They don't have a God-honoring, righteous agenda. Wicked leaders are thrown down by God. God can topple any wicked leader. He can throw them down on the rocks. And wicked leaders hear the word of God. Wicked people hear the word of God. They hear pleasant words, but will not be convicted by reproving words. And then wicked leaders hurt godly people. Wicked people destroy godly people. And David says, I want you to know that I will not stop praying against these people. And God acknowledges, or David acknowledges to God, that he is the only one who can protect him. Look at verses 8 through 10. But my eyes are toward you, O God, my Lord. In you I seek refuge. Leave me not defenseless. Keep me from the trap that they have laid for me, and from the snares of evildoers. Let the wicked fall into their own nets while I pass by safely. David says, God, I look to you for help. You're my refuge, and you're my defense. And he asked God to never leave him defenseless, which God is capable of doing. He asked God to keep him from traps and snares, and he asked God to let the wicked fall in their own nets while he passes through life safely. No matter what David faced in life, he did not want to do something dishonorable.